إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه، وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف پڑھ لیں. اللهم صل وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. The title given to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an was the title by which he was famously known as Amir al-Mu'mineen. The title given to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an was by the word he was famously known as Khalifatul Rasul. He was Khalifatul Rasul, and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab was Amirul Mu'mineen. Scholars have mentioned when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an had passed away, when power, khilafat, authority was transferred to Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, there was a heated debate between the companions as to which title do we honor Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an with. Personally, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an did not want the title as being Khalifatul Rasul for himself. This was his personal opinion. His opinion was that Khalifatul Rasul is exclusively for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Khalifa in the Arabic language means the one who succeeds someone, or who is the successor. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is no other middleman or a third man involved. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is the direct Khalifa, successor of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, it would make sense if we title him as Khalifatul Rasul. This was the opinion of Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar was a purist, a very sensitive individual, subhanAllah. Even when it came to words, his opinion was far down the line as we part from the era of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whoever becomes the Khalifa, 50 years down the line, for him to say, I am Khalifatul Rasul, wouldn't make sense. It would be confusing. He might not even have been born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, muhaddiseen have mentioned, generally the fuqaha have also said, there is no harm in anyone who is titled by the name as being the Khalifa. That is why the four Khulafa are known as Khulafa'ir Rashidin. But Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, the title which he chose and which he preferred over being Khalifatul Rasul is being as Amirul Mu'mineen. Again, this was exclusivity given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. The duty of an Amir, or the duty of the Khalifa who has this position, a very high position. Respected brothers, mashaAllah, the main responsibility given to an Amir is the responsibility of Imamat. He is an Imam. That is the main responsibility. We have President Musharraf, but you tell him to perform Isha Salah and he will struggle. But the duty of an Amir, the one who has been given this position, is to be proficient in the recitation of the Quran. Someone who is scholarly in the Quran, someone who is scholarly in the field of ahadith. We find verses in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the great son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail. Waskur fil kitabi Ismail. إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسول النبي وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة. Not only was he an imam, but he even instructed and gave orders to his family members to make sure that they are regular in their salah, to establish salah. The khilafat system means to establish the system of salah. Once salah, the best formula, has been established in any Islamic city where you have 100% attendance, mashaAllah, the power of salah is that it stops you from evil. Salah stops you from evil. Salah will one day put you right. It is a defensive system that purifies the heart. And it will attack all the wasawis that come from shayateen. So the main duty of an imam, of an amir, is to establish salah. Unfortunately today we find that at times we don't have respect for imams. At times we don't have respect for the muazzin. Muazzin ko to hum bangi sahab kehte. And this imam sahab, what does he talk about? He doesn't know anything. But realistically speaking, my respected brothers, the most noble position, the highest position in Islam is the position of imamat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an imam for his entire life. With that burden of nabuwat given to him, look at his life of Madinatul Munawwara. He was an imam. Every time he had to go out, he had a successor, a naib. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was his naib. If Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was not there, Hazrat Umar Farooq. If he was not there, you had other great qurras of the Quran, they would lead people to salah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's khilafat, his entire life of khilafat, he was an imam. Hazrat Umar Farooq, entire life, he was an imam. Hazrat Uthman, entire life, he was an imam. Hazrat Ali, entire life, he was an imam. So the system of khilafat, when we study Islam, generally the Amir is accessible to the general public. He is the imam of the Jamia Masjid of the Islamic city. That is why whenever Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an selected his governors, it would look at the qualities inside the governors. These governors were not just governors. These governors were muttaqeen, and these governors were imams of masajid. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an had passed a decision that in every city to build a beautiful masjid in the central area of the city. And that central area of the city, that masjid will be given the name as being Jamia Masjid. And everyone should perform their salah there. And that is how the system of khilafat runs and functions. So every man had the possibility to meet the Amir. There were no security guards. There was no protection, no bodyguards. He is the Amir, a simple man. He is the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen. And what about his office? The Houses of Parliament, Big Ben, or the Big Bang, or what? Or do we have, you know, separate venues? There was no Buckingham Palace. There was no Qasrul Abyaz. Malik Fahd and Marhum, Allah give him Jannah. But look at the Saudi government. They've got palaces in Medina. They've got a palace on top of Makkah Mukarrama. On top of Makkah Mukarrama. Can you imagine that? They've flattened Safa, which is Sha'airullah, and they've made it flat so because of too much public, and yet you have a massive, massive palace. And in every city, whereby you forget the verses of the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The wealth that Allah has given you of petrol, this is not your own personal wealth that you have acquired from your forefathers. This does not belong to your forefathers. This is the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and you are an ameen. This is an amanat to you. And that as leaders you need to function in accordance to the system of khilafat. And the system of khilafat is not there. So the main office in the time of Rasulullah, in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq, the main office, the venue was Masjid-e-Nabwi. No other office. It was a multi-purpose building. Subhanallah. Delegation, foreign delegation would come, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would meet them in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the riwayat, it comes the Banu Thaqif tribe came to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was busy. He was preoccupied. He has a lot of things to do in the month of Ramadan. His own recitation of the Quran. All the companions that are there. But a non-Muslim delegation came in the month of Ramadan. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them the best hospitality. He pitched up a tent for them in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they would benefit from the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Eventually the entire tribe became Muslim. Every single one of them. Masjid Nabwi was an Islamic university. The best university in the world. The university that has produced the likes of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. These students would have the badge, and they were known as the students of Rasulullah Ashabu Suffa. Suffa was an elevated platform in Masjid Nabwi, and these were young students that benefited from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They became narrators of hadith. They became doctors in tafsir. They became great fuqaha of their time. Everything from Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You step out of Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you had an open, beautiful gym. Outside the masjid, you had Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in that were training, self-defense. You had the senior companions who were teaching the juniors archery, the art of archery. You had Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in who were experts in fighting with the swords. They would train the young ones how to use the sword, how to ride a horse. And you even had some wrestlers, at times non-Muslim wrestlers that would come and wrestle outside Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You had all these great individuals. It was all about self-defense. Subhanallah. This is Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Multi-purpose building. In fact, scholars have mentioned at times Masjid Nabwi was even used, one section of it, as a surgery. As a surgery. Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala an was wounded in the battle of Khandaq. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions, pitch up a tent for him in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muslim doctors would treat Sa'ad bin Mu'az in the masjid. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would personally attend to him. One man whose name is Hibban, he shot an arrow that hit Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az straight in the arteries, and blood was, he was bleeding profusely. Eventually, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala and passed away. But this was the use of Masjid Nabwi, multi-purpose building. Many activities were taken place in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we study the history, the tariq of Madinatul Munawwara, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the masjid was very simple. How simple? The pillars were made from natural date tree trunks. So you had trees that were planted, that were already there. Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was around, and the pillars were the date trees, the date tree trunks. And the leaves and the branches of the date trees were was the rooftop of Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was no plaster used, unbaked bricks. In the ahadith it comes, when it would rain, the entire masjid would get muddy and soily. At times in the hadith it comes, when it would rain, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would perform sajda and the stain was visible on the forehead of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everything was wet, soily and muddy. This is the condition of Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But yet, my respected brothers, so many activities. The first extension done to Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was by Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar, during the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, no extension, no changes to Masjid Nabawi. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala is the pioneer. He extended the masjid and built another chamber which was known as the Maqsura. Maqsura is a chamber, even today it is found in a lot of the masajid. I've seen one in the Jamia Masjid of Birmingham. You have a Maqsura there. Maqsura is a special chamber for the Imam. So the Imam would open the door of that Maqsura and he would come during the time for Salah and stand on the Musalla during Salah. After Salah, the Imam would go back to the Maqsura. So this was a chamber which was built by Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab in his time, the first extension. But even this extension was very, very simple. No plastering, unbaked bricks, same system, absolutely the same as it was during the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just an extra chamber, a room which was known as the Maqsura. The main construction that took place was during the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala spent a lot of money to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had blessed him with wealth. Majority of his wealth was invested in the house of Allah, in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the first time, beautiful stones and marbles, slates were used and plastering was used to build Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had special artists who came and who wrote verses of the Quran, a great extension for that period of time. This was done in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Some of the people objected and they said to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala that you have really adorned and beautified the masjid. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala would reply to them, I have heard from my Rasul, from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I am his son-in-law. And he said to me that that person who builds the house of Allah in this world, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. So I am investing all my wealth in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a massive extension was done to Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the period of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. During the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was an Imam. He was very careful with regards to the rules and regulations, the adab, the etiquettes of masajid. All his governors, he would discipline them and he would make sure that there was no worldly conversations in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, scholars have mentioned that for the first time out of anger, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala made another section outside Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in the hadith and this is known as Butayha. This is known as Butayha, a separate hall outside Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to the people that if you want to speak, then go to Butayha. But in the house of Allah, nobody should speak. In the house of Allah, it is zikr, salah, Quran, ruku, sujood. If you want to speak, the Arabs had this habit. They were masters in the Arabic language. Subhanallah. And many a times they would sit together and sing poetry and remember their forefathers. So one would come up with a paragraph of poetry, then the other person listening would reply back. And at times there was a lot of noise in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala made a separate section which is known as Butayha and said, if you want to talk, go to Butayha. And that is why we say, if you want to talk, go downstairs, not in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to respect the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that once one sahabi whose name was Sa'ib, he was resting in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why, mashallah, in those days the masajid were open, no security, people could walk in and out in the masjid. If they had no shelter, the house of Allah was a shelter. There was facilities, toilets, wuzu, everything was there, alhamdulillah. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of the companions would just come to the house of Allah and rest. So Hazrat Sa'ib was resting in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had two young boys messing around in the masjid and they saw someone sleeping. So the two boys picked up a pebble, and started throwing at Sa'ib who was sleeping. They didn't realize that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is watching them behind. Can you imagine that? Hazrat Sa'ib is sleeping and the two boys are throwing pebbles, and behind them is this massive, huge figure of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he was very huge, Hazrat Umar. Scholars have mentioned that Hazrat Khalid bin Walid and Hazrat Umar Farooq were twins. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid and Hazrat Umar Farooq were twins. Absolute twins. They looked alike. And they were related. Inshallah, my ambition is one day to talk on the subject of this great Sahabi, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, on Jumu'ah. And to continue with many sessions. So that we have a greater audience in Jumu'ah. We have our dars in the evening, but it's not a full house. But on Jumu'ah, it is a full house. Everyone is here. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we will talk on Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was about to get hold of them. They noticed Hazrat Umar is there and they started running. Hazrat Umar said to Sa'ib, stand up and chase the two boys and get them here straight away. Hazrat Sa'ib also stood up straight away and is panicking. Oh, what happened? Hazrat Umar said, get the boys. No respect of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Sahib started chasing the boys and got hold of the boys. Dono pakre gaye, and both of them came in front of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now they were not young, they were mature, and they were messing around. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at them and said to them, you are not from Medina Munawwara. You don't look familiar to me. Where are you from? And the two boys said, Amirul Mu'mineen, we are from Taif. We are from Taif. Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen said, Taif has saved you. Taif has saved you. Because you are not from Madinatul Munawwara, you are saved. And if you were here from Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today I would have punished you in such a way that you would have remembered me for the rest of your life. I would have punished you in such a way that you would have remembered me for the rest of your life. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala subhanallah, masjid was his home. He did everything for the house of Allah. His office was there. The entire system of khilafat was functioning from Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah, as the time progresses, Maghrib Salah becomes a bit late, we will continue with our sessions. Mukhtasar majlis hai. Allah paak kabool kare. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.